Good morning. Here's a question for you. How many mirrors do you have in your house? Do you look into those mirrors often? Why? Maybe you like what you see on the outside. Then again, maybe not. You can, however, definitely like what Jesus has put on your inside. Now, we cannot directly see that when we look into the mirror, and yet we can know it is there when we look in the mirror, and people ought to be able to see what he has put there as well when they look at you. Jesus has put peace in your heart. Why? That's what we're going to get into this morning during our worship of our great God. We're at the second Sunday in Advent, and to help us remember the purpose of Advent, we light two blue candles on this second Sunday in Advent. The first candle is called the prophecy candle, emphasizing a message of hope. This is when you can look at your weekly news if you have it and not during the sermon. And the second candle is called the Bethlehem candle, a candle of preparation. And that's what Advent really is all about, preparing our minds and hearts aright. And so to that end, we turn our attention to hymn 363 in the red hymnal. This too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and stand as we continue on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my sin.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this second Sunday in Advent, our first reading comes to us through the prophet Malachi, the third chapter. The message has not changed throughout the centuries. The first coming of the Messiah would be about our reconciliation with God, and his second coming will be about our being ushered into heaven. We hear these words: I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening.
We now turn our attention to the front part of the hymnal where we're going to sing Psalm 24. It's found on page 73 in the front part of the red hymnal due to a tech glitch. Psalm 24, the words are not printed in the service bulletin. Page 73 in the front part of the hymnal.
Oh,
What do you pray about? The Apostle Paul gives us some suggestions on what to keep in mind as we pray and with what goal in mind, especially during this time of year, as we look to prepare our minds and hearts aright for the celebration of Christmas and all that comes with the fulfillment of that promise. Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Speak, Lord, your servant is
Please stand for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the third chapter, the way was prepared for the Lord's first coming, and we are encouraged to stay prepared for his coming again. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Euturia and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Are there any children who want to come forward for a children's devotion? Thanks for coming up. Good to see you. All right. What do these all have in common? They're gloves, right? Would you consider these work gloves? What would you use these for? Snow, right? You like snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, snow, right? Keep your hands warm, right? Work gloves. You must know what these are. You must work. For gardening. Do you like the garden? Yeah? Do you wear gloves? Right? So, if I'm going to the snow, I'm going to wear these. If I'm going to work in the garden, I'm going to wear these. And what are these things for? What do you think? When might I wear these? When I'm cleaning, right? So, I have different gloves for different projects. So when I know I'm going to be working, I'm prepared to have these gloves. When I know I'm going to be in the cold and the snow, I'm prepared to have these gloves. And when I know I'm going to be cleaning the house, these gloves, exactly. Well, Advent is all about preparing our minds and hearts. And these gloves can serve as a reminder of how we are to keep our minds and hearts prepared for something far more important than work and snow and cleaning. And that is for the celebration of Christmas. Because what happened at Christmas?
It snows.
It snows. Yeah. What else happens at Christmas?
You get presents.
You get presents. And what's the best present that you are ever given?
A big one.
And this one is a really big one. Jesus. Jesus is the biggest and the best present that we can be given. That's what Christmas is all about. Because what did Jesus do once he was here on earth? Why did he really come? Yeah, to pay for our sins, right? For all the times where we might say some nasty things or maybe disrespectful to our parents or just have a bad attitude. All the sins, Jesus went to the cross to pay for it. So that's why Christmas is so special to us. Because we know what it means for us and for all people. And that's why then we come to worship, to prepare our minds and our hearts. And we sing songs, we hear the word. You know, these work gloves, they're going to help when we're out working in the garden, but they're not going to help prepare our minds and hearts for the celebration of Christmas. And so that's why we're here. And it's good to see you. So when you got to wear some gloves in the snow, may that also help you remember to keep your mind and your heart always prepared to see Jesus, because he's going to come again. So Advent is not just about Christmas celebration, it's also about when he's going to come to take us to be with him in heaven. So let's pray about that. Jesus, we thank you for giving us various gloves so that we can be prepared for the various tasks and fun of life here on earth. Above all, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in church to prepare our minds and hearts through your word and through song for the celebration of Christmas. Jesus came to take away our sins and also keep us prepared to see Jesus again when he will take us to be in heaven. May we tell others about the reason to be prepared to meet Jesus now and when he comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Remember to use the right gloves at the right time, and see you in church again. Thanks. We'll continue with our next hymn. Grace and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus in on these words from our first reading from the prophet Malachi. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, how much are you worth? Not just financially, but more so in the context of living in this world. Are you worth much to society? Does the answer to that depend on who is giving the answer? Does it depend on what your job is or what title you have at work and how the world defines that title in importance? Does it depend on what contributions you have made to a cause in the world? Does it depend on who you are dating or who you are married to or who you hang with? Does your self-worth come from bullying others? If we are looking to the world to give us our worth, our value, if we are expecting things to give us our worth, if we are trying to raise ourselves up by belittling others, then we have a problem, don't we? Your worth, your value comes from God. The one we are to be living for and ultimately to be pleasing is God. And there are at least a couple of reasons for this, a couple found in our text. They're summed up for us in these statements. God, number one, has refined us in and through Christ. And God, number two, has refined us to live for Christ. We are not our own. We have been bought at a price. And so we are not free to do with our life as we please, though that is a common misconception. We have been bought at a price. Bought from the mind control and the influence of Satan. We have been bought at a price. Bought not to remain addicted to what gives us a temporary and false high. We have been bought at a price. Bought to find our value not in the earthly things, but rather in the status that God gives to us in and through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who paid the price to obtain our freedom and to give our lives value and worth and hope to hold on to in this life and in the next. The people at the time of Malachi, they were looking for their value or worth from the things of this world. Now these were people who had returned or were descendants of those who had returned from the Babylonian captivity. When they first returned, they had as a priority to rebuild the worship center. It did not take long, though, for that passion to be replaced and rather put into their own homes, to the point that the worship center remained unfinished while their homes were being finished with the finest of finishes in some cases. Such was an indicator of where their relationship with God the Almighty had gone. They were looking for their value in their homes and not in the physical and the spiritual freedom that God had given to them. And so in chapter 1 of Malachi, the prophet addresses their poor worship habits, not just for the people, the members of the church, but also of the worship leaders. People were giving and leaders were accepting less than the best when it came to their gifts to the Lord and what was to be offered up for their sacrifices. Malachi pointed out that what they were giving as their offerings would not be acceptable by the government as payment of the taxes, for they were offering up three-legged, defected animals. So why should God, who made it clear what kind of animals were to be brought for him, why should he accept anything less than the best? The point that God was making was that nothing unholy could be or can be in the presence, in the sight of a holy God. And nothing but something that was perfect would be able to appease God. Pointing ahead to the need for the sinless Son of God to offer up himself in the stead of all people, to be the sacrifice of sacrifices, a one-time sacrifice, a sacrifice able to cover the sins of all people of all time. That was no small sacrifice that he made with us in mind. The people of Israel, they were not worthy to receive such a sacrifice on their behalf. The Lord pointed out more evidence of that in chapter 2 when God's commands were clearly being ignored. The marriage promise, for example, well, that just became empty words. Breaking of the commandments was a sign of a greater spiritual adultery that was taking place in the minds and the hearts of the people. They were separating themselves from God and then had the audacity to blame God for their leaving him. A time of silence would come. No word from the Lord for approximately 400 years. Awkward, right? But during that time of silence, God was not on vacation. His voice would speak out again when the time was right and predicted by him. Has much changed, though, throughout the course of time? When it comes to people putting God and his ways on the back burner? Is the building designated for us to worship him? Is that the priority in our life? That is it a place that we eagerly desire to come to as often as we can? Sharing that attitude with the psalmist who said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How do we view marriage today? Is it something we value? The promises we make to our spouse? What has society done with the gift of marriage? The sanctity of life. That is definitely a hot topic in some circles. Is it a person's choice to do with another life as they please, whether that life be in the womb, or whether that life be a fight we had with that person, or whether that life be someone just on the street? Who are we of our own volition to take the life or mistreat the life of another person? The more we devalue God's commandments and value sinful actions and lifestyles, well, we should not be surprised about what we see and hear on the news, as well as see and hear with our own eyes in our neighborhoods, maybe even in our own homes, and in our cities, and in our state, and in our country. We are not growing together as a society, and even as churches, for God's ways and man's ways are not compatible. And when it comes to God's ways, there can be no room for compromise. For as Scripture says, a little yeast works through the entire batch of dough. And that is what we see happening when churches and Christians have attempted to compromise with the world. It is then that we can understand why, and we ought to appreciate why, God not only promised and recorded the following words, He carried them out in His time, the right time. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. John the Baptist indeed did come before the Messiah to prepare the hearts to greet that Messiah, that long-awaited Messiah. Now, some people had forgotten all about that promise, and yet other people still had held on to that promise. God at all times never forgot the promise that He made. The same can be said not just with the first coming of the Messiah, of the Savior. This can also be said of His second coming. Both of the Savior's comings have this common theme, and that is salvation. Now then is the time to get on board with the salvation that Jesus, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, has won for us and accomplished by way of His own death on a cross. And when He comes again, He will enable us to be able to carry on with the joys of that salvation with Him for all eternity in heaven. To get on board, though, we need something cleared out of the way. John the Baptist's message, it was a message of repentance. For that purpose, to clear the way. Sin in the heart needed to be and needs to be recognized for what it is. It needs to be confessed. Part of that confession then is being sorry for the sins that we have done, that we have committed. For all the sins that we are aware of committing and even for the sins that we are not aware of. Such a recognition comes as the Holy Spirit uses God's law to convict us, and then uses His power and ability to lead us to confession, to contrition. The Spirit then opens our eyes to see what God has done with our sins. How through the gift of His own Son, Jesus, we have complete and no strings attached forgiveness. These sins, He points out, are not going to be held against us. But that doesn't mean there won't be consequences, perhaps, for the sins that we have committed. Maybe we have hurt someone very badly with our words. Forgiveness for such? Yes. Lost friendship, perhaps? Maybe so. Confession at the beginning of our worship service thus is a healthy thing. For us to do, not only to confess then those sins that we are aware of, but also those sins that we are not aware of before God in the presence of our brothers and sisters. And then we also need that reminder of how we are able to be in the presence of God. It's not by our works, it's not by the value or worth that we bring, but by grace, God's grace. And by the innocent blood that was shed for us. Thus, the words of absolution cannot be pushed aside or ignored at the time of confession, for these words are rooted in the action of Christ and assure each and every one of us that we are indeed forgiven. Hear these words which describe what we have and how. He, Jesus, will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. The sending of John the Baptist with the law, the sending of Jesus, His Son, our Savior, to shed His blood, the admittance of sin, the announcement of forgiveness, none of it by accident. All by God's design. Because God sees us as precious in His sight and worth the plan He put into motion in order to redeem us. This is why it is important to remember that our value, it comes from God, what He has done. And what He has done with you in mind, that cannot be taken away from us. The season of Advent is another opportunity then to reflect on why there is Christmas. Christmas is not about the gifts we receive under the tree or out on our driveway, of which we dreamed about when we were a little boy or girl, perhaps. It is about God's love seen in a kept promise. His love and promise seen at Christmas has lifelong implications, and even beyond this life. Dear friends, keep this in mind when the excitement of opening up that last gift wears off, or you look at the table after the family dinner and see that the table is just a mess. The love of God, the purpose of Christmas celebration, is still there. And our joy of the season does not have to be put into a box until another Christmas. Dear friends, keep this in mind. When the world tries to set your value by the things of this world, by their standards, your true worth, your true value comes from God. As you have been refined by Christ in and through Him, and you have been refined to live your life for Christ. The following illustration helped one person understand this truth better. Maybe it'll help for us too. A woman called up a silversmith for an appointment to watch him at work. As she watched, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot and recalling the words, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." So she asked the silversmith if he had to sit there in front of that fire the whole time. And he answered, yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, he also had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. For if the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman asked, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" His reply, "When I see my image in it." God has purified you through Jesus for a reason and with results. You have His needed forgiveness. You are given purpose. Life is not meaningless when you keep the big picture in mind. You are given value. You matter. Though you may not feel it or experience that 24/7 in your mind, He has equipped you to also share what you have been given. Do people see Jesus and His love through your words and through your actions? Do they see that you are comfortable in your own skin, not because of some human standard that keeps on changing, but because you know the love of God and that your value comes from God? Share the peace of Christmas during this Advent Christmas time. The world needs it. And you have been given it to not only enjoy for yourself, but also to share it. The love of Christ compels us to do so. Tell them their value comes from God. Tell them why and how. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith in our triune God using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 9.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous tribute bring you, and glad praises sing you, ever grateful we will be. Amen. I invite your attention to page 123 in the front part of the red hymnal. Page 123 in the front part, we're going to join together in the Advent prayer of the church. Page 123, we pray. Eternal Father, throughout the centuries, you repeated and affirmed your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through your prophets of old, you continually directed the eyes of your people to the advent of their Savior.
We praise you, O Lord, for keeping your promise and sending your Son to destroy the works of the devil.
As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King, use your mighty word to shatter our pride and to rouse us from spiritual slumber and apathy.
Move us to take to heart the words of John, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near.
You sent your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, and give hope to the despairing. In these days before Christmas, spare us from the stress of deadlines and the frenzy of commercialism.
Fill our lives with the message of your peace and the music of your grace.
Direct our eyes not only to the manger, but also to the skies, where we will see your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords.
Lift up our hearts in joyful anticipation of that day.
God of mercy and might, for Aaron Lochlean's mom, Sharon, who is enduring serious health challenges, and for Arla Jean Petrie from Hope, who is having a knee procedure, we come before you asking that you give each of these ladies what is needed given their situation. Above all, bring them peace in mind and heart, knowing you are with them, and their physical health does not change what their Savior has already done for them. Upon the passing of Floyd Ross, we thank you for the gift of baptism and all of your grace displayed in his life while among us in flesh. Continue to provide through your word the comfort and strength Nita and family need as they mourn his passing. May they and we look forward to a reunion in heaven opportunity. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Thank you also for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We also pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. To keep us prepared. Thank you to the choir for your fitting, uplifting song today. Wonder how that happened, that the words fit with the theme for today. Maybe you prepared. Thank you for all the hard work you put into edifying us in our worship. The Nita Ross family, they're planning at this point to have a memorial sometime in January. There's some other family obligations right now, so just keep them in your prayers as they deal with a big transition in life. Bible studies today will focus on church fellowship here in the church proper, and then we're also focusing on Isaiah Gems in the chapel, the building next to the church here. Sunday school and teens, those classes are taking place as well. Welcome Center to our guests among us. If you haven't stopped by our Welcome Center to browse the literature that's there, please do so. There's also invites there, not just for our guests, but for all of us to take and share with family, friends, strangers, and invite them to hear about the peace that God has for us in and through Jesus. Our second midweek Advent service this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, 7 o'clock worship time, 5:30 supper in our multipurpose center. Next Sunday service will be led by our school children as they're sharing the Christmas message with us. Note that the early service next Sunday begins at 8:30. The late service will begin the usual time at 10:45. Mighty Warriors opportunity. See the weekly news for another opportunity for you personally and collectively to reach out and share an opportunity to invite people to our church. Thank offering envelopes for next year are available. If you haven't picked them up yet, please do so. And if you have picked them up, thank you. And if you know of somebody who cannot make it to church in the next couple of weeks and their envelopes are there, if you'd be so kind to take them for them, we'd appreciate that. Now, you don't have to fill them out for them. You just have to take and deliver them to them. Again, see the weekly news for everything else that's going on. At this time, we're going to get connected to the work that we support. Some exciting news going on in mission work, the Wells Connection.